Do please take a seat. And we're going to hear God's word read. And as before, as we with John's Gospel, as we reach the culminating part of John's Gospel, we have a DVD to watch. If you want to follow this in your Bibles, it is John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. Our Bible version is slightly different to this one, so don't be thrown by that. But let's watch and listen.
Jesus had been put to death, and in it there was a new tomb where no one had ever been buried. Since it was the day before the Sabbath, and because the tomb was close by, they placed Jesus' body there. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the entrance. She went running to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved.
They have taken the Lord from the tomb. We don't know where they have put him.
Then Peter and the other disciple went to the tomb. The two of them were running, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he did not go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. It was not lying with the linen cloths, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. Mary stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb. And saw two angels there, dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head, the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" they asked her.
"They have taken my Lord away, and I do not know where they have put him."
Then she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus.
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?"
She thought he was the gardener, so she said to him,
"If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him."
"Mary,"
she turned toward him and said in Hebrew,
"Rabboni."
This means teacher.
"Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet gone back up to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father. My God and their God."
So Mary Magdalene went and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and related to them what he had told her. It was late that Sunday evening.
So, who can tell me? Who made this? Any ideas? Who or what made this? Children, do you know? Do you see what it is? What do you think, Abby? What do you think? Pardon? Mary Magdalene didn't make it. No, she didn't make it. No. What made this? That's a better way of putting it. You not? Yes? Sorry? A caterpillar! Yes, somebody said a butterfly, but the caterpillar made it, didn't they? The caterpillar made it. and a caterpillar crawled in or made it round them. And then what happened next, do you think? What happens after the caterpillar has made this funny thing? Too much Easter eggs eating this morning, I can tell, yes. Turns into a butterfly. That's exactly right. It turns into a butterfly. In fact, you can see, there's its legs, look. There's a little hint. This is an empty cocoon, actually, because the butterfly has just emerged and it's getting ready to fly. The caterpillar made the cocoon and then it crawled in there and turned into a butterfly. Oh, an old way of life has been transformed into a new life, hadn't it? That's an amazing thing, isn't it, that caterpillars and butterflies do that? Isn't that brilliant? But you know, when Peter and John arrived at the tomb, as we've just seen, what did they find there? They found several things. What did they find? Emptiness. They found emptiness. Yeah, they did. There was still something in the tomb. What was in the tomb? Yes. Cloth, that's right. The cloth. Do you remember we saw right at the beginning of the clip, we saw Jesus wrapped in a cloth. It looked a bit like a cocoon, didn't it? Wrapped up in the cloth. And then later on we saw the cloth was still there, but the body had gone. And this is what it says in our version of the Bible. Simon Peter arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. The grave clothes were there, but there was no body inside. You know, those grave clothes were really quite like a cocoon, weren't they? They were like a cocoon. Jesus' dead body had been put into the grave clothes, but there had been transformation and then new life because Jesus was now alive. This is the wonderful truth about Easter, isn't it? That it's about new life bursting forth out of the old life. You see, the Bible tells us that the world and the human race has been spoilt by our sin, and that human beings are powerless to do anything about it. And that's precisely why Jesus came, isn't it? Jesus came to die for us, to take our sinful humanity down into the grave and to put it to death. And when God raised him from the dead, this was a new human race he was launching. A new human race that would not be spoilt by sin and death and decay. And that's an amazing thing. New life. New creation. That's what Easter's all about. All who put their trust in Jesus become attached to him and share this new life. We become part of the new creation. But you know, the truth is, it's not all wonderful now, is it? It's interesting, isn't it, that this is still new life in amongst the old, just as you still had the old shroud, the grave clothes there when Peter went back to the tomb. You know, the cocoon was still there, wasn't there? The old order of things hasn't gone completely yet, even though new life has begun. And that explains a lot. Because I don't know if you ever ask yourself this. Do you ever think that preacher up the front is always telling us that Jesus' death and resurrection brings new life, it makes everything wonderful, it's such good news. And yet, when I look around at the world, I still see many sad things. I still see lots of hurt and anger and evil and suffering. Do you ever think that? Do you ever think, well, you know, in what sense are things better? It's not completely better, is it, since Jesus did what he did? Well, this is where we have to realise that at the moment it is still new life in amongst the old. And it's very important we realise that. Why don't Christian believers always have an easy life? Why aren't believers yet perfect? And sometimes we hurt other people. Sometimes we disappoint ourselves. Why? Well, they're good questions, aren't they? But this is why. It is not because Jesus failed 2,000 years ago in what he tried to do. It's because just as the Bible tells us, we have this new life of Jesus Christ But at the moment, it is still in amongst the shrouds of the old life. Now, it's important to understand that, because otherwise we get confused. When bad things happen, we think, oh, God can't really be there. Jesus can't really have conquered death. And I must have been deluded when I put my faith in Jesus, because it's all going hopelessly wrong. If we don't understand that it's new life in amongst the old, we get confused. The Bible tells us that followers of Jesus should actually expect hard times and difficult times. Now, the good news is that it won't always be that way. The good news is that the Bible also tells us that Jesus will return one day, and that old age will be destroyed forever. And then we'll just have pure, undiluted new life. Only this new life will, and it will go on and on forever. And that'll be wonderful. But that new resurrection life does start now for the person who puts their trust in Jesus. And it works in all kinds of ways. Even though there may be bad things happening, we can know that new power, that new life in our lives day by day. Sometimes it gives strength for when we need the help to cope with difficult times. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, gives us strength. So it's power to fight against sin in our lives, because we still do bad things, don't we? And sometimes we feel helpless and hopeless. But Jesus' resurrection life to help us battle against what we call sin in our lives and our own selfishness. Life to help us to be more like Jesus, to transform us. Beautiful butterflies yet, are we? But that transforming power is at work in us if we believe in Jesus. Power to love others. Power to help other people come to know Jesus, which is what we're called to do, to point them toward Jesus. A few weeks ago, Kate and I went out for a Friday morning cycle ride, as we often do on Fridays, go for a ride or a walk or something like that. But it started off all right this particular Friday morning, but it soon started to rain, and it was cold rain. It was very cold rain. We got very, very cold very quickly. And when we got back in, we were just so desperate to get warm, we just stripped everything off and dived into the shower, and all our wet clothes got piled up in a heap on the floor. And when Katie had finished her shower, she came down and she just picked up all the clothes and put them in the washing machine, being the efficient housewife that she is, and just to get them all clean. The trouble was, and she wasn't to know this, I hadn't taken my mobile phone out of the pocket. That's the very mobile phone. It looks clean and gleaming, doesn't it? It's been through the wash. So my phone has been through the wash. It's not my wife's fault, entirely my fault. But there we go. It's been through the washing machine. Now we tried to dry it out, and for a while it seemed to be okay. But the problem is this with it, basically. Every time I charge it up, it kind of will. If it turns on, it will turn on for a very short period of time and then just die. Okay. All the buttons seem to work, as far as I can tell. But basically, the battery is dead. The battery is dead. It looks fine on the outside, but the battery is dead. So although it may even work even a little bit now and then, fundamentally, it is not fit for purpose anymore. The remedy is simple, isn't it? What's the remedy? What's the way of getting it right again? What do you think it needs? Needs new life. Needs a new battery, doesn't it? New life needs a new battery. Anybody can help me? I can get a new battery from. Tell me, please. Needs a new battery. Needs a new battery. That's the answer. You know, the human race has got a dead battery. It's been run down by the cosmic washing machine of human sinful nature. And it is dead. We are dead. Spiritually dead, the Bible says. Sometimes, now and then, some good thing can be done. Sometimes we surprise ourselves and do something good. But in terms of a long-term serving God and loving others, we are not fit for purpose. And the remedy is simple. We need a new battery. We need a new power source. We need new life. And that is precisely what the risen Lord Jesus offers us. A new battery, new life. Because he's conquered death. But you know, this new life, it is a power. But it's more than a power. Oops, come back. It's more than a power. This new life is actually a person, isn't it? What happened after the disciple Mary went in the tomb? She came out of the tomb, and then what happened next? She's weeping because Jesus' body has gone, and then she sees the figure. I don't know if Jesus really was crouching down by that palmy thing like he was in that portrayal of it, but she sees this figure, and she thinks it's a gardener. Why are you crying? He asks. That's perhaps a gentle rebuke. The resurrection morning was no place for weeping. But still she doesn't recognize him. And then he turns and one word is enough. Mary. And she recognizes him. It's Jesus. Master, she says. Master. And at that moment, her life is turned around. Jesus has brought hope and love and purpose into her life. That's what he'd done when Mary had met him before he died. But then he'd been taken away. He'd been killed. And it seemed as if the evil things in the world had overcome him. And her hopes lay dashed on the ground. But now in the garden, she is face to face with her risen Lord once again. And everything changes for Mary at that point. It's not ideas or philosophies that makes a difference to Mary. It's a person, isn't it? It's Jesus, Jesus who has conquered death. This new life is a person, Jesus himself. And it's when we meet with him face to face that our lives are transformed by his new life, by meeting this person. You see, at the heart of the Christian faith, it isn't a list of do's and don'ts. You have to be at church at a certain day and you have to do this and you have to do that. At the heart of the Christian faith is a relationship with a living person. Someone who is alive. You know, it's interesting. It says in the passage that John believed. John saw the strips, he saw the empty cloth and he believed. He'd not met the risen Lord Jesus at that point. And yet he believed then and there. Mary had seen the empty tomb, but she hadn't grasped the truth. She didn't really believe until she thought Jesus was still dead, until she saw Jesus face to face. Well, you know, we all come to faith in different ways, don't we? Some people are persuaded by the evidence. They kind of sit down and weigh it up, look at the evidence and think, oh yes, well that makes sense. That must logically, it seems to make sense. I'll put my trust in Jesus. For other people, all the kind of arguments in the world don't really do it. But then something happens. They meet Jesus in some way, an encounter like Mary's. And some people worry sometimes because they think, well, I have put my trust in Jesus, but all this talk about a personal relationship with Jesus is a bit odd because I don't feel that kind of immediacy that some people seem to feel when they talk about Jesus. And sometimes that confuses people. Well, the Bible says this, if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So that's what counts. Not what you feel, but that you are holding on to Jesus as your Lord and that you believe that God raised him from the dead. That's what counts. Not experience as such. But, you know, it is a relationship. It is a relationship. That's why prayer is important. Us talking to the Lord in prayer. That's why hearing what he has to say to us through his word, the Bible, is important. That's why responding to him in obedience is important. And as we do these things, our relationship with him grow. And it's not just that we believe in our heads. It's not just what we do, like going to church. It's about following a person, Jesus, the risen Son of God. You know, Jesus rose from the dead. That is astonishing news. New life has burst forth. And we find it in the person of Jesus. But it's in amongst those old shrouds of this world. But you know this, astonishing as it may seem, some people are happier playing with the shrouds, the strips of linen. You know what this is? This is what's known as the Turin's Shroud. And some people believe this was the actual strip of cloth that Jesus was wrapped in when he was buried. Whether it matter, many of us would think it seems unlikely, but it doesn't matter. We don't certainly don't worship the shroud. But at the end of John chapter 19, we're told that Nicodemus brought 75 pounds weight of spices to wrap up in the grave clothes. And we discovered that was about the same weight as somebody here who we won't embarrass again. But in Luke's gospel, we're told, in the passage Andy read earlier, we're told that the women took more spices to anoint Jesus' body on that Sunday. But they discovered that they didn't need the spices because the body wasn't there and Jesus was alive. But you know, many, many people still invest a lot of time and energy amongst the shrouds of the old life, trying desperately to make them smell better. We concentrate on our nice homes, or our jobs, or our lovely holidays, or having fun, partying, whatever it may be. You know, all these things, they are not necessarily bad in themselves, but they are things we use to try and spice up the grave clothes of a life without Jesus, trying to make life smell better, whilst all the time the risen Lord Jesus is there outside the tomb saying, "Leave those grave clothes and come with me." Sometimes we'd rather invest our lives in the spices and the grave clothes because we feel we don't want to miss out on all the exciting things of this life. We kind of think if we follow Jesus, that will rob us of enjoyment in this life. A lot of people think that way. It's not that they don't believe in Jesus. It's not that they don't want to be with him eventually, but they want to live their lives first and maybe they'll consider him later. A lot of people think like that, don't they? You know, an evangelist went into a pub one day and he shouted, "Who wants to go to heaven?" Everyone put their hands up, apart from one man in the corner. And so the preacher rounded on this man. He said, "You, sir, over there," he said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die?" "Oh," said the man, "when I die. Oh, I thought you were leading a party now." He wanted to go to heaven when he died. He didn't want to go then. He wanted to get on with his life then. A lot of people are like that. They don't want to be bothered with Jesus now because they want to get on then with their lives now and they'll consider Jesus later. But you know, all that is doing is playing with the shrouds, trying to make the grave clothes smell better. Resurrection life with Jesus begins now. Don't wait until you're dead, because by then it is too late. The risen Lord Jesus is calling you to follow him today. Don't go on ignoring him whilst you concentrate on the grave clothes and the spices you're desperately using to make doomed and condemned human existence less smelly. Embrace the risen Lord Jesus. New life in amongst the old. That's what the resurrected Lord Jesus has brought about. Let's not miss out on it. Leave the spices and the shrouds as you hear Jesus call your name this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is alive. Thank you that he gives us new life. We recognize that our batteries are dead. We can't even live the way we want to live, let alone the way you want us to live. And so, Father, we praise you that you can give us new batteries in Jesus. And we pray, Father, that you'll help us not to spend our lives getting caught up in those smelly grave clothes, trying to make them smell better. Help us to embrace Jesus and enjoy resurrection life with him today. We know there's trouble and hardship, but we thank you for your power here and now. And we look forward to the day when Jesus will return and all evil and suffering and sadness will be removed forever. Hallelujah. Amen.